Amen. All right, I think I'm plugged in. Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. Amen. I appreciate each one of you that have made your way out here once again. And so thankful that you're here. And we truly need the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. Amen. I know, again, as Pastor said, you've had a busy day, and I'm sure each one of you wore out through the long day. So I'm going to try to be mindful of the time, but at the same time, try to give you exactly what the Lord has directed our mind and our heart to. And so tonight, if you will you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, and chapter number 4. 2 Timothy and chapter number 4. I just didn't feel like I got done last night. And I'm not even just referring to the meeting. I feel like God just told us to stop right there. And I appreciate, and I'm careful when I say this, but I appreciate when the Lord lets me preach to me. And my heart has been challenged through the Word of God. And to, even today, through the activities of the day, the work today, the Lord used the message and the Word of God yesterday to convict my heart. And I appreciate that. I'm thankful. That's the power the Word of God has. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I trust the Lord will continue to use it in the days to come. But this morning, this evening, as I was studying through the day, meditating through the day, on the thought that lay before us that I was not able to get to last night, again, God began to reiterate some truths and began to reveal new things to me and to make it fresh in my heart. And I trust that the Lord will help us deliver this to you as God put it in. Amen. I've got another message that I thought about preaching, another one I was writing on the down this afternoon, but I just couldn't get any other direction than where we're at already in the text. So that's where we're going to be headed back to. But 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we'll read a couple of verses. If you're able to, stand with me. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of God and start reading. And start reading in verse let's start reading verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And I don't know how the preacher may have preached this, that instant, in season, out of season. I've heard it said, you preach when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. But I'm afraid that what the context is dealing with is you preach when they don't want to hear it, and you preach when they do want to hear it. Amen. Yeah. I'm glad for the majority, I'm sure. You're here tonight because you want to be. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I like that kind of crowd. Amen. Yeah. And so I'm thankful that we still in these days have a group of people that want to hear the truth. Amen. I appreciate that. And so I plan on preaching. Amen. When they hear it and when they don't want to hear it, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it has come, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, and that's what it's always about, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Amen. Amen. I have a couple of things I want to say right there. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. I love this. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be saved by the grace of God. I'm so thankful once again tonight for Calvary. Thankful for the blood, Lord, that you shed for our redemption. I'm thankful for the body that's a sacrifice, oh Lord, for our reconciliation. And Lord, I'm so thankful, oh Lord, for the burial, Lord, in which you provided our resurrection through the power of God. I pray, Father, that you might help us now, Lord, as we gather in the house of God to fellowship around the Word of God. I pray, Father, that you would give us that touch, dear God, that we crave. Give us that threshold, Lord, we bless your name for what you accomplished on yesterday. I'm thankful for the liberty that we had in the service, and I'm thankful for your people willing to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that you might now help us once again tonight as we've gathered together. Lord, there is nothing that I can say, there's nothing that I can do to help anyone in myself. So, Lord, I plead, God, that you would fill us with your Spirit and that you would empower us through the power of God. Oh, empty me of me, oh Lord, and fill me with you. I pray, God, that you'd loose these lips of clay, and Lord, may we speak the divine inspiration of God. Oh Lord, may the word of God go forth in power, not in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. I pray, God, that you might help us now fill this vessel, and may the Spirit of God move in this place. God, you know every need, you know every heart in every pew tonight, and I pray, oh God, that as you move in this place, Lord, would you speak to every heart. I pray that you would not leave one heart untouched, unmoved, and unchanged tonight, but I pray that tonight you'd stir a fire revival in our soul. May your will be done, and may in all things you be glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We are dealing again with the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. And I will try my best to skim through the material that we have already covered and get to the point that I feel like God has directed our heart to tonight. But we understand that the judgment seat of Christ is the place where God is going to reveal to the child of God and manifest his works, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We understand the only individuals that stand at the judgment seat of Christ are those who are saved. It is those who are a part of the bride. Amen. And so, amen, amen. And by the way, that's just not Baptist right there. Might as well go ahead and throw that in there. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you've been washed in the blood and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've repented of your sin and turned yourself unto God. Amen. You're a part of the bride. Amen. Praise God, a part of the church of the living God. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to get there that day, and we're going to be surprised by the people who are there, and we're going to be surprised by the people who are not there. Amen. That's right. And so this day is going to come after the resurrection and rapture of the saints. It'll follow with the righteousness of God that he promised us. Amen. Will be imputed unto us in the moment. Praise God. We shall be changed. Amen. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. However, you and I must be refined. You and I must be purified as the bride of Christ. God's Son will not present his bride unto the Father until the bride hath made herself ready. Amen. And so that is going to take place at the judgment seat. We said the person who sits upon the throne is Jesus. Amen. He is the champion, the conqueror, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the only one qualified to sit upon the throne and to pass out the judgment that is to follow. By the way, I will make this statement once again. The judgment seat is not about judging us concerning our sin. But the purpose of this throne, the purpose of this judgment scene is to deal with the people of God, the saints of God, not to the sin that they committed, but to the truth that God committed to them. Amen, amen. And so we understand that the person that sits upon the throne is Jesus. The place of the throne, I believe, is in the air, as God calls it to bear witness of our deeds and of every word that we spoke. The purpose is to classify, that He can purify so that we can glorify Him. Amen. And so in that work of manifestation, God is going to judge us again. Not according to sin, as is the judiciary, but according to our work, which is the tribunal seat that He was set upon. Now, as He is seated upon that throne, we have dealt with also the people that are at the throne, before the throne. There'll be those that have a determined finish. Paul was one of those individuals. Amen. I have thought, you talking to him. Paul was not being cocky. Amen. Paul was confident. Amen. Paul, amen. I hope when I check out of here, I got that kind of confidence. Amen. I have fought a good fight and I have kept the faith and I finished my course. Amen. Amen. There'll be those with a determined finish. There'll be those with dwindled futures, those who've wasted time. There'll be those who've deserted the fight. There'll be those who've discontinued the faith. But it will be all saints that will stand at the judgment seat. All saints, every last one of us who are saved will stand there. Amen. And by the way, you'll stand there having finished your course, whether or not you really finished it or not. Amen. And so as that day is going to take place, we understand it is a fearful time. It is a terrible time. Amen. I understand we'll have a great, glad reunion. But I'm telling you, tears are going to flow at the judgment seat. Terror and fear will come to pass. Amen. Amen. I'll get to that in just a minute. Amen. And one of the greatest fears we talked about is standing before, having our life revealed before everybody looking on. But I'm just telling you, the only person you're going to even consider being present, amen, is going to be Jesus Christ, who bought you, loved you, and who redeems you with His own blood. Again, the writer once said, a preacher once said, that in that day, if it was possible, there'll be those who have wrecked their lives and ruined and squandered their lives. That if it was possible, they'd cast themselves off into a crisis eternity in hell to escape the shame. The proving of the throne. Again, it is not one of condemnation, but it is one that God is going to judge and competition setting, if you will. We're not competing one against another, but we are striving for the crown. Amen. We are striving for the prize. Amen. We are locked in. We are leaning forward and we are striving, pressing toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God. He is going to prove us. He's going to prove us in three different areas. We touched on the first two on yesterday. He's going to prove your function in the body of the church. The judgment that will be passed down will be those of unused and unfulfilled potential. We have to give an account. God will take us, the bride of Christ, and He will separate us into the local body, the church. Amen. And as that body must give an account, amen, of what it accomplished together. In that day, you will not get to speak for you. You will not excuse your family. You will not excuse your children. The only person who gives an account for the church is the shepherd that God put in charge. Amen. And so it'll be that individual, amen, the pastor, the man of God, who God says will give an account. He will give an account. I don't envy that. Amen. I don't envy that at all. They must give an account, amen, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He's going to prove your response to preaching, your role in participation. He is going to prove your riches in your provision, your partnerships. Amen. That's what missions is about, supporting men of God in their ministry. You partner with them. That's what it's about. By the way, that's biblical. Just read your Bible. Amen. If the realness of prayer, he'll prove that. Recompense of their praise. There's spots. I wonder tonight, is there spots in the feast of your charity? When your worship is being given and offered to God collectively as a body, we meet to worship, we gather to worship. I wonder when that worship, Brother Eric, ascends to the throne room of God. I wonder if there are spots in that feast of charity. Amen. Those individuals who raise their hands and worship God, quote unquote, but they do it in vain because they have sin in their heart. They have enmity toward another and the church, amen. There's strife and there's contention, confusion in every evil work, James said. I am telling you that will be brought to light in that day. Amen. The relationship to God's people, that'll get fixed. That'll get fixed. There are some things I am convinced that only the judgment seat will sort out. But I'm telling you, at the judgment seat, God will get it sorted. I'm glad you ain't got to wait till then. Ain't that amazing? You ain't got to wait till the judgment seat to get right with God, right with your brother, right with your man of God. You ain't got to wait till then. You can get right with God tonight. And then you ain't got to worry about the judgment seat. What a blessing. He'll prove your function in the body, the church. He will prove your framing or your framework in the building as a Christian. It's going to deal with the unfinished task. We understand, as we dealt with last night, you are building upon the foundation of your salvation, which is Jesus Christ. And you are building with six different building materials that are classified Bible, and that is wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stone. We dealt with hay as it being a type of the flesh. Amen. Those things done that we involve ourselves in, that our flesh have an appetite for, that we are affectionate to, that our teaching is upon, that our dress surrounds. What is it? Let me ask you a question real quick. What is it that you talk about all the time? Can I stop right there and preach for a minute? What do you talk about? Hey man, I know we got some sport fans in the building, but please, please tell me you spend more time talking about God than your ball team. Ball teams, plural. Amen. Amen. I hope to goodness that amen, wouldn't be said of anyone in this church, that your conversation revolves around your paycheck and your job or politics. God help you. Amen. God forbid that our conversation would be so earthly and so temporal, centered, that we have neglected the Word of God, the will of God, and talk about heaven. Amen. What do we talk about? Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. You don't ever talk about the Word of God. You don't ever talk about serving God, the joy that's in serving Jesus. You do not ever talk about the songs of Zion. What a blessing it is to be a part of the church. Everything that you talk about has to do with this whole world. Let me tell you something. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And amen. And if it's in your heart, I promise you, your words and your conversation will let me know. I'm afraid we've got far more invested in this whole world. Are you hearing me? We've got more invested here than we do over yonder. I'm telling you, you're not going to have that kind of investment here and stand before God there without being ashamed when you see Him. Amen. Your address. Amen. Your attachments. Those that live that life working after the flesh, the works of the flesh, they will be that individual. They will be that individual who has a critical spirit. Let me tell you something. I know people that are in ministry that are some of the most critical people you'll ever meet. You know why? Because they are working. They are working works of the flesh. They are doing the spiritual. Are you listening to me? They're doing the spiritual, unhappy, discontented. I'll get there in a minute. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But they are completely unhappy doing the will of God because they wish they had more of what the world has. Amen. And they can't be happy in the will of God. And so somebody who is happy in the will of God, they criticize them. Amen. That's right. Amen. And so we dealt with the hay. It's the works of the flesh. And then the stubble. It is that stalk. It's without the fruit. It is works that are fruitless. It's not works that do the provision, work the provision in the flesh, but it is works that are involved with the product of the flesh. Amen. Again, we have lost sight of a purpose. Amen. We have lost sight of a purpose. And it our lack of purpose has cost us our productivity. By the way, you know how you get a paycheck at the end of the week? You earn it. Bearing fruit does not come to the lazy. Amen. Lord's helping me preach. I'm telling you right now. I am telling you, God don't use lazy people. Amen. You expect to have a return for your labor. But yet for some reason, if you just say you're saved, you expect to bear fruit. I understand being saved has a lot of natural repercussion, if you will, natural things that happen. I understand all that, but I'm telling you, it takes effort. Yes. It takes labor. It takes energy. Yes. Right. Right. Amen. We've lost our sight of purpose, and we have become absolutely fruitless in the will of God. I'm telling you, if the trumpet sounded tonight, if you were standing before God tonight, if you were standing before the holy God of heaven, what have you done? What have you done today that was spiritually productive? Do you know your job can be spiritually productive? Amen. Yeah. It can be, you know, that's the will of God for your life. Right. Providing for your family, that's a part of the will of God for your life. Right. It can be spiritually productive, but it wasn't, was it? Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, as soon as we stepped onto the job, everything that happened yesterday, I'm telling the Lord's helping me preach. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The joy that we had in the service, God working, we stepped onto a job, grieved in our spirit. The conversation in the world took over. Our mindset was focused on the things of the world. We found ourselves weighted down and burdened with the cares of life in one instant, and we lost productivity spiritually. You know why? Because you were the one doing it.
Right. Right. Yes, you're right.
And that's where we get over there to the wood. Right. And that's the works that are faithless. You went in the power of you. Right. You lived a life in the power of the flesh. And I'm telling you, it'll leave you empty every time. Discontented every time. Oh yeah, you might pat yourself on the back. Look at what I accomplished. But I'm telling you, the judgment seat, it was absolutely fruitless.
Right.
unproductive. We live the life in the power of ourself. I wonder today, did God, the Holy Ghost, empower you? If He empowered you, I'm telling you, you went to work today with a purpose. You went to work today as a witness. You went to work today and you applied yourself in everything you did, not so you get a pat on the back, but to give God glory. Not to have the boss's approval, but to have God's approval. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, that kind of mindset is foreign. We don't understand that. But I'm telling you, I can go to work, amen, and I can apply myself in what God has given me to do to take care of my family. Amen. And I can serve God with it.
Amen. Yeah,
amen. I don't need the customer's approval. I need it as far as work goes. I don't need the boss's approval. You tell you what I'm after. I'm after God's approval. And that right there will dictate your attitude, will dictate how you go through the day. It'll dictate how you come home in the afternoon. Amen. Mama, that'll dictate how you handle the children, how you handle the house. It'll control you walking in the Spirit. Amen. That is a controlled, disciplined life. But it's a life of faith. It's foreign to the flesh. Amen. 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 But we can build with gold. That's the power of worship. That's walking in the Spirit. That's walking in truth. That's walking in supplication. That's walking in relationship with the Savior. It's sacrificial, but it is powerful spiritually. Silver, that's our waiting, serving one another, serving those around us. Amen. Being willing, amen, to reach the sinners and to reach the saints, to be an encouragement one to another. Amen. Precious stones, that's our witness. Amen. It involves our character, our compassion, our charity. Amen. It involves carrying our cross. At the end of our life, Daniel 12:13, but go thou thy way to the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Your last day, you're going to stand in the lot that you are building right now. You're going to stand there. And God's going to apply His holy fire to that building. Will you be left standing in the ashes? Amen. Let me tell you this. God's given talent. Amen. I'm almost where I need to be. God's given talent to this church. God's given talent to individuals. God's given you potential. We understand that the judgment seat is this. God is going to reveal to you as the church and as the Christian. God is going to reveal to you your potential. And then He is going to reveal to you what you actually accomplished. And everything in between is loss. I'm going to give you a quick illustration. We'll move forward. But when Jesus gave the parable, and the man gave the talents out, right? The master gave the talents out. He gave one to one of them. He gave two to another. And five, I believe that's right, to the other. You know the story well. They went and they took their talents. And the one with five went, and you know what he did? He reached maximum potential. And he come back with 10. You know what the one with three did? He reached two, I'm sorry. You know what he did? He reached maximum potential. And he come back with four. You know what the one did? He did absolutely nothing with it. You hear me? He did absolutely nothing with it. Now listen now. He didn't lose it. He just did nothing with it. You see, some of you have talent. I'm preaching to me tonight, all right? I'm in the same boat. God's helping me. We have talent that God's given us for the will of God and the work of God. But we have not touched it. You know why? Because of the effort and the work and the labor that's going to be involved to develop it. I hit something right there. Abilities that are untouched and untapped. because it's going to be a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of discipline, a whole lot of time. You know what we're doing? We're living a life without the judgment seat in mind. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what. He did not lose it. He did not lose that talent. He still had it in his hand. There are some people who are standing before God with the talents that they had, and they squandered it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They squandered it. They spent it and they squandered it. And now they have nothing to show for it. But let me tell you where the one who saved it and just didn't do nothing with it ended up. He ended up in the same shape. Because that one talent that he refused to touch, God took it away from him in the end.
Right, right.
And he gave it to the one that had the 10 talents. The one that reached full potential. I'm telling you, the rewards you could have earned. You may come dangling the talent that you had that you didn't do absolutely nothing with. You may not have squandered it. You may not have lost it. Just didn't use it. And at the judgment seat, the reward that could have been given for you utilizing that talent in the work of God and the will of God for your life, God will take that reward and he'll give it to someone who is more worthy than you. By the way, he is a just God and a just judge, a righteous judge. Amen. And he will be completely, absolutely fair about the deal. But the truth of it is, most of us won't be wanting that kind of fairness. Amen. Amen. Let me get to the last point on the proving part, and let's try to make a point and try not to be so negative. Amen. Number three, he's going to prove your function in the body of the church. He is going to prove your framework in the building as a Christian. And number three, he is going to prove your faithfulness as the bride of Christ. We are his bride. Amen. We're his bride. And he is a faithful Savior. He's been faithful to us in more ways than we could ever begin to describe. And as our bridegroom, he has every right to expect faithfulness from us. Preacher told me to use a little bit of this the other day, but I'm going to go through and make another point. You expect more than 80% faithfulness from her, right? You expect more than 95% faithfulness from your wife, right? I expect 100% faithfulness. And in that day, our bridegroom will expect nothing less. So he is going to dig deep. He's just not going to look at what you said. And he is not going to look just at what you did. But he is going to look at how and why you did it. He's going to look at the motive. He's going to look at the heart. Oh, God don't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You don't want him looking there. But in that day, he's going to pull it out. In that day, he'll reveal it. Your faithfulness. Did you love him? Did you love him purely? Did you love him consistently? Was it genuine? Did you love him? If you loved him purely, you had to love him in truth. Herein is love made perfect. Amen. It's made perfect in that we keep his commandments. Love is made perfect in that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. But truth, his truth has become burdensome to his people. His truth has become a weight to his people. His book has become bondage to his people. They grieve God's people. The more Bible you preach, the more bowed up and sour people get. How much more do you expect of me? Now I'll tell you, that kind of heart and that kind of mind comes from only one root, and that is you don't love him like you say you do. Because if you love him, we could preach whatever we wanted to as long as it's in that book, and your heart would break. Tears would begin to fall, and there would be a drive from within. Oh God, I want to be more like you. I want to walk in more truth. Oh God, I love you. I want to do the will of God. Love that was pure will be pure because it was a love that's in truth. It'll be love that's pure in the middle of temptation. Oh, we have truth. Thank God for truth. Amen. And when you really are right with God, man, there is nothing that stirs your heart like truth. But the truth of this matter is this. When you walk out the doors, the devil and the world and the flesh are dead set against you, and temptations not have a chance of coming. They are coming. Amen. Every man is tempted. You can stop right there and mark her down. I'm going to face temptation. Amen. Here's what you need to understand about temptation. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It is not a love thing. It's a lust thing. Amen. The only thing that overpowers the lust of the flesh is a love for God.
Amen.
Listen now, deep inside of your heart, there's a lust there. That all depraved man, here's what you need to understand, young man. It ain't the world pulling on you. It's you pulling for the world. See, that magnet ain't out there on that billboard. That magnet ain't in that magazine on that computer screen. That magnet is not on the speakers of the radio. Oh, no, no, no. That magnet's deep in here.
Yeah.
Every man's tempted when he's drawn of his own lust. The drawing's within. And you cannot conquer that kind of lust within you unless it is overpowered by love for God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Temptation's going to come.
Right.
Tests are going to come. But he's always offered a way of escape.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That you may be able to bear it. And that way of escape is you running to him, to his feet, because you know how depraved and unworthy and unholy you are. and you know how holy He is, and we run to Him, and we beseech mercy. We beg God. Amen. There's a desire to be consecrated to Him, a desire to be right with Him, a desire, and yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to come short, but when we do, amen, He that hath this hope in Him, that one day we will see Him. He that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Amen. Amen. I understand messing up. I mess up. I understand sinning against God. I sin against God. But I'm telling you, if you got a right love, you can't bear it very long. You'll take off up to your knees and say, oh God, I messed up, but I love you more. I love you more. Do we love Him purely? If we do, we love Him in commandments. We love Him in truth. We love Him in temptation. James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. We love in truth. We love in temptation. We love in trust. We love and trust. We expect 100% faithfulness from our spouses. But that expectation is coupled. Yea, it is dependent on how much you trust them. Yet spiritually, the wires get crossed because we know we can trust Him because He's always faithful. And yet, I wonder if we really trust Him. I tell you, you'll struggle in this thing of walking by faith and not by sight when your love's not right. You love Him enough to trust Him, to trust His control, that He'll never do you wrong? Do you love Him enough to trust His contentment, knowing He can satisfy your soul and He alone? Do you trust Him enough? Do you trust Him in His care, that He'll supply every need? Do you love Him in trust of His comfort, knowing that in the sorrows of this life, you can find rest for your soul? Do you trust His company, His presence, that it'll be enough when everyone leaves you alone? Or do you rather live a life doubting His power, doubting His ability? Lord, I want to trust You. I want to believe You. But Lord, I don't see a way around this one. I just don't know. I believe You can. I just don't believe You will. Discontented in His purpose, right smack dab in the will of God for your life, but with everything weighing in upon you, you are discontented and miserable. Disgruntled with His provision, as God supplies your needs, as God takes care of you, therewith food and raiment, therewith be content, but we are not content with that. Most of us have more than we've ever had. Most of us have more than our mother, our parents had. And we are disgruntled. You know what that comes from? That comes from a lack of love. We're discouraged, even though He's present. I'm telling you, I have been in churches where the presence of God was so evident, and people were discouraged with the presence of God moving and working in the lives of people. Defeated, even though God, you know, has a plan. Depressed, while He's proving you and trying you and testing you. Destitute, even though He's made sure the people of God have surrounded you. And you don't see nobody. I'm telling you, I have seen it, but you find yourself, God help me, I'm not trying to be mean on anybody, but God will surround you with people who can hold your hands up and encourage you, and it's like people get in such a shape and such a doubt, amen, their faith is so weak, amen, that they don't even see people that God has put in their life to help them go on. Do you live a life of dread without His peace? You know what the Bible says? Perfect love casteth out all fear. But we have fear tonight. Because we do not have a perfect love. And when we stand before Him, the reason why the judgment seat weighs so heavy on our heart and mind is the fear. You know why? Because we know we don't love Him perfectly. Do you love Him purely? Do you long for His presence? As the bride, do you long for communion with Him? Does His presence consume your thought, consume your heart, consume your spirit? Do you cherish when He manifests Himself? As the bride, do you labor in purpose with a cause, with consistency, conscience of His eye upon you? Do you labor for His approval because you love Him? Why do you do what you do? I don't care what the cause is. I don't care what the purpose or what reason. If it is not because you love Him, you're going to find yourself weary in well-doing. And you'll find what you're doing leaves you empty at the end of the day. You have a love that lasts during His proving? Do you have a love that's looking for His promise? In the text, he says, Paul said, there is laid up for me now a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. Do you love His appearing? Are you looking for that blessed hope? The reason why we do not long for the return of Christ is because we just don't love Him.
You're right. Amen.
We love Him enough to show up on a Sunday morning, hopefully the Sunday night and a Wednesday night here and there. Hit and miss every now and then for revival. Participate, maybe pass out a tract once a year. And that's as far as our love gets for our bridegroom. And he is going to stand, the bridegroom is going to stand before us upon the judgment seat, and he is going to prove his bride. He is going to apply, are you hearing me? He is going to apply his wrath, he is going to apply his holiness, amen, in that fire of judgment, that purification to his bride, and he is going to purge her.
Yeah.
He will do away with every spot. Every touch of the world, He'll make sure it gets clean. Oh, what a terrifying time this will be. As we stand there guilty of a lackluster function in the church, guilty of laziness in our building, and guilty of loving the world more than we love God. What's the purpose? What is the reason for the judgment seat? Classify, purify, to glorify. The reason why we have to go through such a terrible time is God has an amazing reward in store. Here is the motive. Here is the reason. Here's why we can live a life, amen, that is in sight of the judgment seat. At the end of this judgment, when God has done His proving, what is left, whatever is left, God will begin to give out the rewards. Amen. He said, I come and I come quickly, and my reward is with me. When He comes, He will have the rewards for the saints of God that finished and finished well. We understand the Bible gives us some rewards that are given. The incorruptible crown will be given to those who have mastered the old man, have walked in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The crown of rejoicing will be given to those who are soul winners and have won those to Christ. The crown of life for those who have endured temptation and trial. The crown of righteousness, those who have loved Him and His appearing. The crown of glory will be given to those men who were willing to feed the flock of God. Amen. And be the shepherd that God had them to be. Those are the rewards. Those are times of the crowns that will be given. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me is a very small thing that should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise. Listen to this phrase. Praise of God. You think about that phrase for a minute. You and I, oh, bless His name. You and I have only done one thing. Come short. Oh, bless His name. You and I, Brother Richie, have only done one thing. We have lacked in God's approval. The only thing, the only hope that we're even existing on this earth, amen, is because we are not founding ourselves. We are found in Him. Amen. And the proof that God gives to us, the church, has always been through Christ. Amen. That's it. Now, the fire has purged the bride. The fire has purged the bride. And for the first time we stand spotless from the world, spotless from sin, spotless, amen, from the snare of the devil and what he did to mankind, amen, over 6,000 years ago. We stand apart from our depravity, amen. We stand pure. Amen. Amen. The last fire has been burned. Amen. The last spot of the flesh has been, amen, vanquished. And now the bride has been made ready. Can you imagine the procession that is about to take place as the bride begins to march in those gates? Amen. Praise God, I'm about to come on out of the building. Amen. As the bride marches through the streets of glory, and as we approach the throne of God, the Father, for the first time, God looks at the bride and He nods in approval. Right there is a bride who is worthy of my only begotten Son. I love, look at the glory, look at the purity, look at the holiness. Oh, and He offers praises of the bride. We'll have praise of God as His Father's heart will be overwhelmed at the beauty of His bride. His Son's bride, His eternal bride, will be perfect for the first time. Perfect. Oh. As we stand there reflecting the glory of our Christ, and we stand in the presence of God the Father, and He offers praises, amen, to the church who overcame. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Amen. He offers praises to them who had an ear and heard. Amen. As He beholds the righteousness of the saints and the rewards in their hands. Woo! Praise God. And He offers praises. At that moment, too, I believe at that moment, amen, in time, amen, there'll be a trumpet that starts a-sounding, and a horn blast will take place, and all attention will turn back, amen, amen, as they call out the entrance to the line of the tribe of Judah. But at the same time, I think we'll see what John saw, and when we turn around and look, we'll not see a line. We'll see a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We'll see Him slain. I believe in that moment. Oh, I believe in that moment. God, the Lord Jesus, is going to reveal. He is going to reveal His life to us. Oh, as we stood, as He revealed to us our failures. As He revealed to us our shortcoming. As He revealed to us what we could have done and what we did. Oh, He's going to reveal what God expected. He's going to reveal what God required. And at the same time, He'll reveal what He accomplished. And He'll match the expectation of His Father point by point, prophecy by prophecy. And He'll reveal that He reached maximum potential. At that moment, oh, when we see what He accomplished, we'll bow our knees, oh, and we'll begin to take our crowns and the reward that He gave to the bride, amen, and we'll cast them at the feet of the bridegroom, crying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to whom be honor, glory, power, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, God's expectation will be met with the Lamb's perfection. We will magnify His name. Oh, we will glorify Him in every trial, every mile, every battle, every time of suffering, every time of sorrow, every time of labor, every moment of love, every confession, every hard time, good time, every high rejoicing time, every mountain, every valley will all make sense in that moment. Amen. 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 And when we see Him, it'll all make sense as we take that crown and that reward for serving God and being faithful and have the ability to bestow upon Jesus glory.
Amen.
If there's any other motive in eternity, I haven't found it yet, other than just giving the Lamb glory. Oh, giving Him blessing and honor, majesty to the Lamb that redeemed us. Amen. The reason why the judgment seat is so important, and the reason why what you do day by day is so vital, is because some will have nothing to put at His feet. Some who have squandered everything. Some who have walked away from all that God provided for them are going to be standing there in that moment of worship, and they'll have nothing to lay at His feet. Oh. It may be tonight that the reward given to the believer is your capacity to manifest the glory of God throughout eternity. In other words, the greater your reward, the greater capacity you will have in eternity to give God glory. But the more loss, the less the ability to bring God glory. Some will be there, I cannot imagine. Oh, God forbid that it would be me. But some will be standing there with absolutely no ability to glorify Him. No reward to lay at His feet. And that day will be perfect, sinless. I won't be jealous over your ability to glorify Him. You won't be jealous over my ability to glorify Him. Nothing like that. But we will be left with the lot that we built ourselves. I long to have something. Oh God, I want something to lay at His feet and to bring a smile to His face. As He reveals to me that He gave everything because He loved me, who was unlovable. How could I not love Him more? To suffer loss is to suffer loss of the praises of God, the position in His reign, prosperity in the eternal kingdom. As that talent that has been wasted and squandered surely takes a loss and will be given to another. I do not want to stand that day empty-handed. I want something to bring glory to His name for all of eternity. This life is a vapor. We have eternity to gain. Oh, let's not squander what He's given us. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.